This morning we're reading from the third canto, chapter 2, entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna, text number 11. And I could use some water. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Tadarshyatapta tapasam. Tadarshyatapta tapasam. Avitrutta drisham rinam. Adayanta radhadyastu.
Adayanta radhadyastu.
Svabimbam lokalochanam.
Svabimbam lokalochanam.
Kadarsya tapta tapasam.
Kadarsya tapta tapasam.
Avitrutta drisham rinam.
Avitrutta drisham rinam.
Adayantaradhyasu.
Adayantaradhyasu.
Svabhimbam lokalochanam.
Svabhimbam lokalochanam.
Tadashyatapta tapasam.
Tadashyatapta tapasam.
Avikritta vrisham rinam.
Avikritta vrisham rinam.
Adayantaradhyasu.
Adayantaradhyasu.
Svabhimbam lokalochanam.
Svabhimbam lokalochanam.
By exhibiting. Atapta. Is this loud enough or do I need to? Okay, atapta.
Without undergoing.
Tapasam.
Penances.
Avitripta drisham.
Without fulfillment of vision.
Nirinam. Of persons. Adaya,
taking.
Anta,
disappearance.
Adhat,
performed.
Ya,
he who.
To,
but.
Svabhimbam,
his own form.
Lokalochanam,
public vision.
Translation. Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him as he is, due to not executing required penance. So that's a one long sentence. There's a lot of things in there and like piecing them together. I'll read it again. It's a bit hard to grab, and I'm still trying to grab the meaning of it. after reading it 6 or 7 times, Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him as he is, due to not executing required penance. And the Sanskrit, trying to relate that to the translation, it's, you can see it in there, but it's a bit hard to grab. Okay, not loud enough.
Is that loud enough?
Is that good? Okay, sorry. I'll read the verse again. Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who are unable to see him as he is, due to not executing required penance. There's a lot of things in there, and just when you think you understand it, then there's something else, and like you're trying to piece it all together. So what is he talking about? I'll try to bring this out, but one thing I wanted to say was, we're right now, our group is studying the life of Srila Prabhupada before he came to America, and he really had a strong desire to create a community of, not just a community, but a worldwide organization of people that would study Srimad Bhagavatam in the proper way, according to disciplic succession, and not with some concocted thing brought in by a politician with their own ideas. And so he's traveling all over India. He's getting different opportunities to speak at Gita conferences. And everyone he goes to, he's so disgusted, he just has to leave. He can't. For a while, he'll take advantage. All right, they've given me this title. And so he uses that to meet more people. But after a while, he finds it so restricting. He has to be with these people that are saying such awful things about the Bhagavad Gita. They're so off track that he just can't stand being around it. So he's forced to just work on his own. And as we're reading this time through, I don't think he's going to make it. It's just with everything that's going against him, I don't see how he's ever going to do it. Doesn't have any money. Finally, somebody helps him out when he's staying in Chippewada in Delhi. He's in this little tiny concrete room, and there's people living all around him, making noise. And while he's in there, he's typing. Somehow he gets a typewriter. And he's writing his Back to Godhead magazine, then he writes his Easy Journey to Other Planets. He writes that as a book. Nobody's interested in printing it, so he prints it in his Back to Godhead magazine, and he gets some response from a few professors who say, this looks really interesting. He prints it in installments, and with that interest, he's able to get enough money to print his little 37-page book. That's his first book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Then he begins writing Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's just got this dream. There's going to be some people that are going to read this. And while we're reading his story, it's like, I don't know how he sees that. Nobody's interested. He writes to everybody that shows the tiniest bit of interest, and they write back saying, I think you've written us a letter by mistake. There's nobody here interested in what you're talking about. He's got a few letters like that where people, I mean, it just, there's no interest. But that doesn't stop him. He just keeps going. Somebody shows a little bit of interest. So this, somebody in Delhi, what was his name? Krishna Pandit. Krishna Sharma Pandit. Gave him a place to stay. While you're in Delhi, you can stay here and work on your book. And he even does a little editorial work for him, for his Back to Godhead magazine. Finally, Prabhupada gets a tiny bit of help. And he also brings him some meals. He feeds him. At last, Prabhupada gets to eat. Or Bhaktivedanta Swami. He's been given the title. And he's a sannyasi at that point. So he gets a little respect. But still, He's not like other sannyasis who just wander, beg a little bit, speak a little bit. He's going to the marketplace, arguing, trying to get the good price on the paper, talking to the printers, he's doing business. He writes about that in the first canto, how people see a sannyasi in the marketplace and they wonder, what's going on? Because you're supposed to be renouncing all business and activity. But this is a very different kind of business. So somehow we've all made it into Prabhupada's wish. Here we are, congratulations, you've made it. And he's very happy to hear that you're hearing his words that we're about to read, and his purport is going to open this up for us, and we're part of his dream, which he saw as part of his guru's dream when he arrived in Boston and he saw America for the first time, and he said, this really looks impossible. He had an impossible time in India, and somehow he made that possible. There's that song by Rupa Goswami, Durgata Gatavam Vidatri, praying to Lord Krishna, Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. Offer my prayers to you, Krishna. Durgata Gatavam Vidatri. I hope I'm saying it right. But you make that which is impossible possible. He includes that prayer in First Canto, Chapter 11. So that prayer was on Prabhupada's mind, and he surely took advantage of that. He prayed to Krishna. So now here we are, and whoever is online listening, congratulations. After he saw Boston, he got back on the ship and he wrote that song to Krishna. My dear brother Krishna, Krishna Tava Punyahavevai, if you want to achieve your objective, if you have any desires, you have to please Srimati Radharani. And I have a proposal for you. Here is this very dear servant of Srimati Radharani, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and he has a desire that people all over the world hear about you. So, and he's given me this job, this task. So if you make it possible for me to do this, then Radharani will be pleased with you. And so that's his psychology in that prayer. So he says, I'm doing this just on the strong desire of Bhaktisiddhanta. So having a pure desire, Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada has his pure desire, and then we're taking up that pure desire, and here we are, we're part of it. So here we go. I'll read the verse again. Lord Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who are unable to see him as he is, due to not executing required penance. Purport in this verse, the word avitripta drisham is most significant. Now Prabhupada doesn't say what that word means, and then he just goes on. So you need to know what it means. I'll go back to it. Avitripta, without fulfillment of vision. So tripta means
satisfaction,
yes. And what are some songs that we sing or some verses that we all know with that word, triptam? Kritvaiva triptin bhajata sadaiva. And what does that mean? Yes, the word is twice in that verse. The spiritual master feels triptan by seeing the devotees being satisfied eating prasad. The spiritual master is always offering Krishna four kinds of delicious food. When he sees that the devotees are satisfied, triptam, he is also triptam. He's also satisfied. All right, I'll read that first sentence again. In this verse, the word avitripta drisham is most significant. So those who are not satisfied by seeing Krishna is what Prabhupada's getting at. The conditioned souls in the material world are all trying to satisfy their senses in various ways, but they have failed to do so because it is impossible to be satisfied by such efforts. The example of the fish on land is very appropriate. If one takes a fish from the water and puts it on the land, it cannot be made happy by any amount of offered pleasure. The spirit soul can be happy only in the association of the Supreme Living Being, the Personality of Godhead, and nowhere else. The Lord, by his unlimited causeless mercy, has innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the Brahma-Jyoti sphere of the spiritual world. And in that transcendental world, there is an unlimited arrangement for the unlimited pleasure of the living entities. Okay, that's the first paragraph. Everyone following what he's getting at? Avitripta drisham. What does that mean? You want to try? Avitripta drisham. They weren't satisfied by seeing Krishna. And in several purports, Prabhupada talks about that. We have a hunger, but we are going after the wrong things. We're looking for happiness where there is no happiness. The example he gives so many times, go to the desert, you're looking for water. There's no water in the desert. Someone comes in and he says, one drop of water, here you go. You can't say it's not water, but what good does it do? So there is a tiny bit of happiness in the material world, but it's not enough to satisfy us. At the end of the paragraph, he's talking about the last sentence, the Lord, by his unlimited, causeless mercy, has innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the Brahma-Jyoti sphere of the spiritual world. And in that transcendental world, there is an unlimited arrangement for the unlimited pleasure of the living entities. He uses the word unlimited three times, innumerable once, so like four times. He's saying, we got a big appetite. Our appetite is unlimited for happiness. We're not going to find it here. The comparison he gives is take a fish out of water, and you can give that fish anything ridiculous. You could give a fish a credit card and say, go ahead, use it as much as you want. The fish doesn't know how to use a credit card. Fish doesn't have hands. What does the fish want? It just wants to be back in the water. And so we're frustrated like that. All right, so we'll move on. The Lord himself comes to display his transcendental pastimes, typically represented at Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka. He appears just to attract the conditioned souls back to Godhead, back home to the eternal world. But for want of sufficient piety, the onlookers are not attracted by such pastimes of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, and let's see how many of you can recognize what verse he's speaking about here. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that only those who have completely surpassed the way of sinful reaction can engage themselves in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Okay, how many of you know it? One, two, three, four. Anybody on that side? Come on. I know you know it. As soon as I say it, you're going to be, oh yeah, that one. Okay, go ahead. Loud. Te dvandva moha. Okay. Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmana. So yesham tvantagatam papam. So their papa is at the anta, the end. Yesham tvantagatam papam. Those people whose papa, their sinful reactions are finished. Let's see. I'll read this again. But for want of sufficient piety, the onlookers are not attracted by such pastimes of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that only those who have completely surpassed the way of sinful reaction can engage themselves in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Yisham tvantagatam papam, jananam, jana, those people, punya karmanam, who engage in, who are done punya karma, good karma. Yesham tvandagatam papam jananam punya karmana te dvandva moha nirmukta. So nirmukta, they've become freed from moha, illusion, the illusion of duality. Bhajante mam dridha vratha. So those people can engage in bhajan with the dridha vratha, with the strong vow, with determination. So it was like that even in the time of Krishna. Some people who were impious, they would look at Krishna. And the verse seems to me, when you go deeper into it, and I studied a little bit about what Vishwanath says about it, and I just got really confused. Because he's seeing all kinds of other things in there. But at first glance, and according to what Prabhupada says here, it seems like people who were not pious, who were not seeing Krishna as he is, for them, he's gone. So Uddhava's kind of implying, he's not really gone. And then there's different meanings to that, too. He's not gone, like he's finished, he's evaporated, he's dispersed. He's moved somewhere else. And then there's other meanings, too. He never leaves. What's the verse in the Gita? One who sees me everywhere, yomam pashyati sarvatra, sarvam cha mai pashyati. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So if you're totally immersed in Krishna, Krishna's never gone. So we'll touch on that. Let's try to get through the purport first. The entire Vedic way of ritualistic performances is to put every conditioned soul on the path of piety. Okay, so after saying, if you're not pious enough, you can't appreciate Krishna. So society is set up in a way to put everyone on the path of piety by strict adherence to the prescribed principles for all orders of social life. One can attain the qualities of truthfulness, control of the mind, control of the senses, forbearance, etc., and can be elevated to the plane of rendering pure devotional service to the Lord. Only by such a transcendental vision are one's material hankerings fully satisfied. So now he's going back to that first paragraph, how we have this hunger, we're like a fish out of water, and we are going to remain like fish out of water until we find that purpose with the four unlimited things that were in one sentence. When the Lord was present, persons who were able to satisfy their material hankerings by seeing him in true perspective were thus able to go back with him to his kingdom. But those persons who are unable to see the Lord as he is remained attached to material hankerings and were not able to go back home, back to Godhead. When the Lord passed beyond the vision of all, he did so in his original eternal form, as stated in this verse. The Lord left in his own body. He did not leave his body, as is generally misunderstood by the conditioned souls. This statement defeats the false propaganda of the faithless non-devotees that the Lord passed away like an ordinary conditioned soul. The Lord appeared in order to release the world from the undue burden of the non-believing asuras. And after doing this, he disappeared from the world's eyes. Omagyam kemarandasya yananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmaya shri gurave namaha. The verse again. Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, displayed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him as he is, due to not executing required penance. When Vidura asks Uddhava about news of Krishna, and he goes through the whole first chapter asking about Krishna and all of the relatives, then Uddhava's trying to reply, and the first six verses of this chapter show how it's really hard for him. He's very emotionally, the question has affected him emotionally, and he has to pull himself back into this realm. Because his remembrance of Krishna is so strong, then the very first thing he says, you're asking about the fortune of all of these people. He says, the sun has set. The sun which has shined on our family and all of us has now set, and we are being swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare? So he's just saying, this is, I have sad news for you. Of course, Vidura already knows it. Not only did he already hear about it, but he was at Prabhas Chetra when he heard about it. He was at the place where everybody had left, and then he hears that Krishna has also left. He's just wandering, dazed and stunned when he comes to Uddhava, and he's just trying to cope with it, and that's how he copes with it. Let's just pretend it didn't happen. He's asking all of these questions. How are these people? Let's just pretend they're alive. Then Uddhava drops the information at the very first thing, very first statement. Then he goes on saying, we're unfortunate, everyone's unfortunate. People that saw him but didn't understand who he is, they're unfortunate. Then in this verse, again, he repeats, he's left, but he's left for those people who were unable to see him while he was here. Those people who just saw him as, you know, there he is, there he goes, now he's gone. But for people who have taken him within their heart, he's never gone. And then in the purport, Prabhupada talks about how he's taken a lot of people, a lot of his devotees went with him. That was his purpose for the whole incident at Prabhas Kshetra. So Uddhava, Vidura, they're feeling like, why did he leave us behind? Uddhava even was saying to Krishna, I don't want to be left behind. I know you're leaving soon. I want to go with you. But Krishna told him, no, you have to stay here. You've got to explain things to the devotees at Bhadrika Ashram. So he was sitting in Mathura for some time, and then he meets with Vidura. They have this conversation. Then Vidura is sent to Maitreya, who is also sitting with Uddhava. So it's a recurring theme throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Already it's happened several times in the first canto, this theme of you get a little glimpse of Krishna and Krishna leaves. The theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is separation from Krishna. We read about it in the very first chapter, and everyone just, if you come up with something about this theme, just raise your hand and shout it out. But the very first one I'm thinking of, anyone? You want to try? Go ahead.
When the Lord appeared to Narada.
Okay, yeah, that's later on, but that's a good one.
Is that in the second canto or first?
That's in the first canto. The Lord appears to Narada. Yes. Narada gets a glimpse of the Lord, and then he's trying to get that vision back, and then he's struggling, and finally he just gives up, and then he hears the Lord's voice saying, "You're not going to see me again in this life. I've given you this just to increase your desire." So it's a good reference.
Vyasadeva was in separation of his son who left.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the first time?
Oh, yeah. That's, let's see. That's a beginning of, is that beginning of first chapter or second chapter? Where did that happen?
In the first chapter.
First chapter. Okay, thank you. Good one.
Parikshit Maharaj gets a glimpse of Lord Krishna.
Parikshit Maharaj, he's spending his whole life. He got a little glimpse of Krishna. This whole book is just infused with it. From the very first... All right, I forgot about that one. That's like text 4 or 5. It's really early on. And then I was also thinking of the sages in Naimisharanya. It's one of the questions. Now that Krishna is gone, where do we go for Dharma? So that ceremony is like, Krishna's gone. We've got to do something to prevent Kali Yuga from happening. Anything else? Any more? Kunti. Imminent separation. Is that what you're thinking? Her prayers? Yeah, okay. Kunti's saying calamities, when there's trouble coming, we know you're going to come and save us. So give us more trouble if that's what it takes. We don't want to miss you.
Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Yudhishthira Maharaj.
When Arjuna was supposed to come back from Dwarka, he hadn't come, and so
yeah. Yes. So Yudhishthira waiting for Arjuna to return, seeing omens and thinking, I have an idea what this is. I hope it's not, but it seems very strong that it is. And then Arjuna comes and he sees Arjuna's condition and he's like, it can't be anything but. But still he asks, how are these people? How are these people? Just like what we see with Vidura and Uddhava. Okay, another good reference. Anyone else? Let's see, who did? Who made Vajra? Krishna did? Yudhishthira made, okay. Thank you. Also, there's the conversation between Bhumi and Dharma. And Mother Earth is regretting, like, I used to have Krishna walking all over on me. And so in the purports, it says her separation from him was much stronger than the gopis because Krishna would leave the gopis. You know, they got a little practice in. They got little incidents of separation, but the earth was always feeling Krishna, and now he's gone. Second canto. I'm trying to remember if there's anything in the second canto. I can't think of anything, but if anybody online, any pundits online, do people put notices in there? So it's a recurring theme throughout Bhagavatam, and it's going to build an intensity. Here it's pretty intense. It's always intense. And for those who are intensely feeling Krishna's separation, they're also feeling Krishna's presence. Sometimes you don't notice how much you love something until it's gone. When we lived in North Carolina, there was a country store that I would go to get tractor parts and all kinds of things. And these two brothers ran it, and one of them, he was always joking, kind of a smart alecky wise guy, and usually he was making fun of his son, who was like in his late 30s. Never had much good to say about his son. But then one day I went in, I said, "Hey, I haven't seen your son in a while. How's he doing?" And for the first time ever, that guy looked serious. He said, "You didn't hear? It's been 263 days. He died." And the guy just started spilling his heart about his son and how he just felt so bad. And I thought, wow, I never knew he felt like that. And I was kind of thinking, he probably never knew he felt like that about his son until his son was gone. And like, he was counting the days, 263 days. You haven't heard? Such a difference, a change of character. Here's this guy, always joking, wisecracking, smart alecky guy. So for the devotees, they're with Krishna. And then when Krishna's gone, it just really increases. It's like throwing gasoline on a fire. It just builds up. And oh my God, I didn't realize how much I loved Krishna. For those that were here when Prabhupada left, you know, we felt like Prabhupada is wonderful, it's great. But when he left, that it's a lot of devotees I hear, they say, that's when I really learned to love Prabhupada, was after he left us. So here are two devotees, and they are in deep separation, and I've got to find, let's see if I could find that. From the previous chapter, let's see. This is about Vidura. He's going to the different holy places. Finally, he arrives in Mathura. Thereafter, he passed through very wealthy provinces like Surat, Sovira, and Matsya, and through western India, known as Kuru Jangala. At last, he reached the bank of the Jamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, the tract of land comprising about 100 square miles from modern Delhi to the Mathura district in Uttar Pradesh is considered to be the topmost place of pilgrimage in all of India. This land is sacred because Lord Krishna traveled through it many times. From the very beginning of his appearance, he was at Mathura in the house of his maternal uncle Kamsa, and he was reared by his foster father Maharaj Nanda at Vrindavan. There are still many devotees of the Lord lingering there in ecstasy in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained, But it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane, and that the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. That's a strong statement. Such devotees of the Lord see him face to face at every moment, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Premanchana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Those who are in ecstasy of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shyamasundara, Krishna, see him always in their hearts due to love and devotional service rendered to the Lord. Both Vidura and Uddhava were such elevated devotees, and therefore they both came to the bank of the Jamuna and met each other. Since Prabhupada refers to a verse in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Yesham Twantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmana. Let's see, I'll find it in the purport. But for want of sufficient piety, the onlookers are not attracted by such pastimes of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that only those who have completely surpassed the way of sinful reaction can engage themselves in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So we have people, Krishna is right in front of them, they can't appreciate him. And the devotees, who Krishna is apparently far away, they're right there with him. Two very different kinds of people. And chapter 7 begins with Maya Sakta Mana Partha. So we've been listening to lectures by Prabhupada on the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That verse is one of his favorite to lecture on. He's given more lectures on that first verse of chapter 7 than any other verse of Bhagavad Gita. Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan marashraya asangshayam samadrammam yata yasasi tachtrinu. So we've been hearing him speak in London and in Los Angeles in 1968 and in New York in 1966, and each time he'll bring a little different aspect of that verse out. So in one of the verses, he breaks it down. He focuses on the word asakti, which means attachment. And then he goes through the adau shraddha, tata sadhu, sangata bhajana kriya. So you start with a little faith, then you engage in sadhu sangha, you associate with the devotees, Vajana Kriya, Nishta, you become fixed, Ruchi, you get a taste, and then Asakti, then you have a deep attachment. And so he's talking about that, okay, and he's breaking it down. He's saying Yogam Yunjan. Yoga, Yunjan means to engage in activities. So he says this is Vajana Kriya. It's the activities of devotional service. There is a way in order to reach this, asakti, yogam yunjan madashraya. And Krishna is saying, madashraya, under my shelter, you engage in this kind of yoga to reach this asakti. But in that day, Prabhupada was saying, ashraya, he says, you take shelter of the devotees. Work under the devotees here in the temple. He says, I forget where he was giving this lecture, but he said, just come, move into the temple. Put yourself under the shelter of these devotees. They'll tell you what to do. This is yogam yunjan madashraya. Then asamsayam samagramam. Then you will know samagra, entirely, completely, Krishna. Asamsaya, without any doubts. Yata gyasasi tachtrinu. Madashraya. So put yourself under the care of the devotees. And I was also listening to Vamandev telling his story about how he met the devotees. There were only three temples at the time. There was New York, San Francisco, and Montreal. And for his college, he was supposed to do a report. His professor said, there's this new Hindu temple up in Montreal. So he drove up to Montreal, and there he met Shivananda, who asked, would you like to see God? And I said, well, okay. Shivananda brought him in before Lord Jagannath and said, this is God. And okay. Shivananda said enough things to really get his interest, and he took a couple of magazines and he wrote letters to Prabhupada asking, what do I do next? And Prabhupada said, you can come and move in with me. You can come and live with me and I will teach you. The movement was so small back then. But then before he got that letter, Vamandev had moved into the New York temple. And so he wrote to, when he got that letter, he wrote to Prabhupada and told him what happened. And Prabhupada said, well, that's fine. Whatever Brahmananda tells you is as good as whatever I'm going to tell you. And so Vamandev learned a lot from that letter. He said, Prabhupada really has faith in these people that he's trained up. And he has a system, and okay, I'm just going to follow that. So asakti, in that stage of asakti, when you are deeply attached to Krishna, it's like now when we're chanting japa, we're trying to attach ourselves to Krishna, and we're chanting Krishna's names, and then somehow we find ourselves thinking of something like, how did I get here? Why am I thinking of this? But with asakti, it's just the opposite. We're trying to do some kind of a task. We're sitting in a meeting. We're talking to somebody. We're doing something. We're trying to focus on something. But then we find our mind off on the bank of the Jamuna. And we're just thinking about the cowherd boys looking at Krishna caught up in the coils of Kaliya. And the cowherd boys are there just collapsed on the ground. Have you ever been so scared that your knees just give out from under you and you're trying to shout but you can't because you're so overwhelmed with fear? And that's the way the cowherd boys were. And when everybody else in Vrindavan hears, they see bad omens and they're wondering what's going on with Krishna, they go searching him out, and when they arrive on the scene, they also collapse in fear, seeing Krishna there in the middle of the poisonous lake. And then when Mother Yashoda arrives, she's just the opposite. She becomes empowered with motherly protective. She's going to run out into the poisonous river to save her son from the snake. But all of her friends are holding her back, and she's fainting. And all of this just goes to increase everyone's fear and apprehension more and more, and it's getting more and more intense. And they see Yashoda fainting now, and that increases even more. Now they're afraid, is she going to die? We're going to lose Krishna, we're going to lose Yashoda. And all of her friends are reciting the pastimes of Krishna to keep her alive. And then Krishna is just standing there, bound up in Kaliya's coils for 2 hours. And then it says, when everyone is just on the verge of dying, Krishna breaks free and everyone cheers. And then he starts fighting with Kaliya. So in asakti, you're trying to do a math equation and all of a sudden you find yourself there thinking of that, wondering what it's like being there. And how did I get here? And so that's what asakti is like. And that's what chapter 7 of the Bhagavad Gita is about. Prabhupada's saying, you can see Krishna everywhere. The example he always gives, Rasoham apsukanteya pravasmi shashishuriya. That chapter, he's saying, I'm everywhere. And then within that chapter, he says, if you're not pious, you're not going to see this. So you have to engage, again, Yogam Yunjan Marashraya, the second line of the first verse of chapter 1. Yogam Yunjan, you have to engage in this yoga, Marashraya, under my shelter or under the shelter of my devotees. Asamsayam Samagrammam Yata Gyasasi Tachtrinu. So we have 5 minutes left. I'll open it up for questions, discussion.
What's the translation of that first verse?
The first verse?
Exactly.
Now hear from me, touch Trinu, Arjun, how by engaging in yoga with attachment to me, you can know me in full, free from all doubt. Did I leave anything out?
I guess so. In the translation, it said those people who didn't have enough piety, they couldn't see Krishna as he is. But don't you have to have loads of piety to be born in a place where Krishna is performing his pastimes?
Yes.
So how did they get there whom he didn't have?
Yes, that's one of the things that's confusing me too. Oh. And the previous verses, and I'm sorry I missed class the last month or so, but all of the verses leading up to this, saying how he feels sorry for the Yadus because they only saw him as the Lord of everything, the Lord of the heart, and there's a lot of things in here that I don't really understand, but maybe someone who is in the previous classes and then caught some of that. That is a good question. Anybody? I better try. Okay, good.
No, that's not in response to that. If I have a wild question.
Oh, no. Why don't you try to respond to it? I'm sure you've got something.
Maybe response to my answer. So you're talking about feeling separation from Krishna. So if one has met Krishna, been with Krishna, one can feel separation from anybody if you have met somebody, generally speaking. If you meet somebody, you have spent time with them, you feel separation. How do we, or at least myself, feel separation from Krishna? I feel like I haven't met him and he's there, but... Yeah, you have some thought on that.
Yeah, okay, so the question is, how do we develop the feeling of separation for Krishna? And Yogam Yunjan Marashraya, speaking on that line, Prabhupada says, simply, you have to hear. He always comes back to that. And that's what we're doing. We just keep on hearing about Krishna. And it's going to happen. And it may seem like the sparrow emptying the ocean by swallowing it or taking a little beakful and flying away. It may seem impossible, but Yogam Yunjan Madashraya, being under Prabhupada's protection, under the shelter of Prabhupada and the other devotees, then it's going to be effective. Asamsayam, without doubt. So we don't doubt the system, and we'll come to the point of having no doubts. Initially, that asamshaya and samagram, complete understanding, is applied toward the practices. First, we become attached to the practices of bhakti. This is the way Rupa Goswami describes it in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We become attached to the practices first, and then we become attached to the personality of Krishna. So, is that okay? And still, we got these mysterious people that show up with Krishna. I hope someone will say something about that.
Also, in relation to Madhumati's question, and as you mentioned, the practices are also our attachment to that. But often, I mean, sometimes in our experience and in practicing devotional service, either in chanting, there's a, like the clouds separate and we just get a, you know, a mercy glimpse of something, of an experience in that japa that we're trying to again recapture, just like Narada Muni was, you know. Mm-hmm. But and also in devotional service, as we experience something so relishable that again we want to recapture that or be there again. So we keep prodding on, you know, with that hope, anticipation, and separation of the, of again experiencing that more fully.
Yeah, good point. Thank you. Rupa Goswami talks about that also in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and says that in association with a pure devotee or in a holy place like Vrindavan, you can get a glimpse of that, but it won't last very long. He said a beginner can get that, and so you hold on to it as long as you can, and then it'll dissipate. But as we engage in punya karma, or yogam yunjan, we just keep practicing and then we develop more piety. But what is this piety? Because like we always hear so much about like pious, impious, we're not so concerned with that. So this is a different kind of punya. And then there's the verse about kritta punya punja, where Shukadev Goswami is saying, who are these people that are playing with Krishna, the cowherd boys? Itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya. And here is this person who, people who are after Brahman realization, here's the personification of Brahman, Brahman happiness. They're playing with him. Itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya dasyam gatanam paradayavatena. Those in dasya ras, he's the supreme worshipable master. Maya shritanam naradharakena, and for those who are in Maya, they see him as just a regular boy. Sakam vijahru krita punya punja. But these boys are just playing with him like friends, and after krita punya punja, Prabhupada translates it as heaps and piles of pious activities. He keeps coming back to that verse. He really seems to have affection for cowherd boys. And he keeps pointing out to that last line. So this is how you get there. Heaps and piles of pious activities. All right. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.